again. You know, sometimes we have a lot of opinions on things, and some of those opinions matter because there are subjects that are fairly important. Other things probably less important, to be honest, but we still sometimes have a strong opinion, right? I have heard a lot of opinions very recently about what is the best kind of cell phone. And if you can imagine, I primarily was talking to younger people, so there's this huge debate among young people whether you should get an iPhone or whether you should go Android, you know? So Samsung Galaxy versus the iPhone. I'm not sure who is right in that, but probably you're going to be okay either direction you go. You know, people really argue about what car to drive. You know, I'm a Chevy man or I'm a Ford guy, right? And we have some Ford people probably in this room, I'm guessing, because of the connection to Ford Glass in the past. But, you know, then other people are really strongly committed to Chevys. And we might have some fun ribbing on that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, probably doesn't matter too much until you're on the side of the road and you need a tow truck. But then it might matter a little bit more. But there are some other things in life that are a little more important, one of which we'll talk about tonight, and that is we're kind of piggybacking a little bit on this morning's lesson, just a little bit, although we won't be talking about the transfiguration itself. But we're going to continue with this idea of Jesus. And so tonight, Jesus greater than. And in particular, as we'll see tonight, Jesus greater than Moses, although we might say Jesus greater than, and you can fill in the blank. Greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than any of the prophets, greater than David, any of the kings, right? So Jesus greater than. So the book of Hebrews serves as our focus text tonight. And this is actually found in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. Holy brothers and sisters, or brethren, as the translation here has, those who have been sanctified by Christ. If you notice from Hebrews, the theme over and over again of how much Christ has done. And so Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Christ has sanctified us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, another passage speaking to this. And it says, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Holy because we have been sanctified. And Christ has done that work. And it cost him his life. In order for him to give his life, he had to partake of flesh and blood. So in a sense, Jesus partakes of flesh and blood like we do, like we have a body, in order that we might partake of the heavenly calling. Notice Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest priest in the service of God, and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Which leads us then to our verse in chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, because of this, because of what Christ has done, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Think about him. Focus on him. And realize what you were called to. A heavenly calling. The apostle Paul used similar language when he wrote to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And then he says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A heavenly calling. An upward call. Or going back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, this language is used. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, and the pioneer of the faith. In some translations, a heavenly calling, an upward call, to use Paul's language from Philippians, and in Hebrews here, bringing them to glory. Who do we follow in order to reach that heavenly home? And it is the one who is called here apostle, the one who is called here high priest. Two titles given to Jesus here and not used in any other passage of Scripture as titles for Christ. Why apostle may sound a little funny to us. We're not used to referencing in that way. We are with high priest. But apostle simply being one sent. And in this regard, he is one sent. He was one sent as that pioneer. Chapter 2 and verse 10 that I just read. He was one sent in respect to what is found in verse 12 of chapter 2. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. The language of message coming to them of who Jesus is, of what he means. And then in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, already read as well, he is seen as the one who makes atonement. High priest making atonement. One sent, one who paves the way, one who blazes the trail. And he was faithful. Christ was faithful. That means he did what he was entrusted to do. The Father sent him for a purpose. And he took that responsibility. And he carried it out perfectly so. All the way to the end, even to the point of being the atoning person of it all, the sacrifice himself. And through that, he brings deliverance. Through that, he also leads to the promised land. And therefore, you probably already begin to pick up on those terms as sounding a whole lot like Moses. Deliverance, and leading to a promised land. which is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is doing, connecting these two stories that we know so well. Moses and the Israelites and the wilderness generation. And as you can see from Hebrews chapter 3, after the verses we'll actually look at, and even going into chapter 4, how they were often unbelieving. I'm talking about the wilderness generation. And that they serve as an example of what not to do. Kind of a warning. Don't be like them. Take care lest there be in you any evil of unbelieving hearts that would lead you to fall away from the living God. Instead, exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of their unbelief. That's how Hebrews chapter 3 ends. A warning. Therefore, holy brethren, brothers and sisters, recognize who you are, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider who Jesus Christ was, is, always will be. Recognize his faithfulness. That is carrying out all that God the Father had entrusted him to do. And realizing the connection of faithfulness that Moses had, and yet Jesus superior. So as it goes forward in the chapter here, chapter 3, beginning in verse 3 here, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This one, Jesus Christ, this one who was faithful, who did everything God entrusted him to do, that although Moses also was faithful, and Numbers chapter 12 tells us that, there is a faithfulness to Moses that Scripture speaks of. There's a faithfulness that we should be pleased to learn about and to follow in some senses as well. I look at Numbers chapter 12 and about verse 7. Well, I'll back up a little bit. Verse 6, and he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream, yet not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak face to face, or literally mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord, it says, was kindled against them, and he departed. They rose up somewhat in rebellion, we might say, against Moses, and God issues a warning. Moses was faithful. I know he has a bad moment. I know we all realize that. And I know that separates him from Jesus, who never had a bad moment. But Moses is faithful. There's a reason why Moses is in Hebrews chapter 11. Serves as a great example. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith he led the people as they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. By faith Moses did these things. Moses is faithful. But Jesus is far greater. And that's the argument here in Hebrews chapter 3. Jesus is far greater than even Moses. This one, Jesus Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than even Moses. Now, sitting here today as Christians, 2,000 years removed and after the resurrection, the ascension, that kind of is easy for us to swallow. But considering back then and what Moses meant to the Jewish nation, this is a bold statement. It's a faith-defining moment. To accept Jesus is not complete utter rejection of all that Moses was. But it's a recognition that Moses served a purpose of leading people, leading a nation, although only for a period of time, literally, in his physical health and life, but in another sense through his words, that is the law that he gave, leading those people down through the ages to be ready for the Messiah. Many of them were not. Many of them did not accept. We realize that. But his purpose was to bring this idea and move along the people to be ready one day. That is Moses' job. That was his task. And in that way, he was faithful himself. And he should be commended for his own faithfulness. But the house that has been built is a house of God. And God himself has built his house. He who built all things is God. Moses indeed, it says, was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. He is faithful. But he served. He served in God's house, God's nation of people at the time. And notice how verse 6 concludes it. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Whose house? It's Christ's house. Christ as a son, important language. How important? Go back and read, we won't go through it together tonight. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 1, the son language. But Christ, that is Messiah as son, over his own house. He's not a servant. He's not like Moses. Moses was faithful. Moses was faithful among God's people as a servant. Jesus Christ is son. He is over his own house. That house built by God, the church. Again, obviously, we understand, I think we all understand or need to understand, not a building, right? Not brick and mortar. What is the house? What is the house? Is it not the church? And what is the church? We all know the people, the believers, those who have been added to the body of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to this language beginning in verse 14. I hope to come to you soon, he writes. But I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the house of God, or household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Yes, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Christ as Son over his own house. And you are that house. We together are that house. We who are believers. And the plea from the writer of the book of Hebrews, which may be Paul, and it may not be Paul, but whoever it is, writing by inspiration, is making something clear. This is who you are. Behave accordingly. Be holy. Be pure. Be that dwelling place of God in this world. And don't let go of it. You know, there's a tendency with anything in life. There's a tendency to go for so long and then stop. How many of us have desired to increase our knowledge in something, and we have gone to the library, we have checked out books, or we have searched the internet, or whatever it is that we've done. We've done the research. And somewhere along the way, we kind of fizzle out. We read for a while, we learn for a while, and then somewhere it just becomes overwhelming or we get bored with it. How many of us, me included big time in this, how many of us have wanted to improve our diet and exercise, and we've gone through seasons where we've done really, really well with that, and then after a while we kind of stop? I mean, it happens. It happens to the best of us. When it comes to this spiritual walk of life, when it comes to our faithfulness, we need to hold on. There are things that we can do in life that help a little, maybe help quite a bit, but we can kind of do them for a while and then let go, and it's not going to cost us eternity. But hold on. Hold fast to faithfulness. Hold fast to that confidence that you have. Hold fast to the rejoicing, to the hope, and remain all the way to the end. When the Lord comes, or when you draw your last breath and you enter into His glory. Continuing membership in the household of God is dependent upon something. It's dependent upon you keeping a tight grip, considering it worthy to hold on to with all your being and never let go. If you need to respond this evening in some way, we would encourage you to come forward. We would pray with you if that is your need. Or if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, whatever need you may have, we're going to stand together at this time as we sing number 3.